Hello and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only, and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Taylor. Daryl's away for this week, so I have two guest hosts sitting in. Across from me, we have Richmond native Josh Stankus. Josh, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And to my left, we have Albert Otati, who's from Richmond as well. Richmond native Albert Otati. Say hello, Al.
Hello.
All right, and this week, we're going to be discussing the World Cup in general, Group C in specific, and I guess even more specific, the men's national team, U.S. men's national team, that is. But first things first, a couple weeks ago, USA was placed in a group with Slovenia, Algeria, and England. How'd you guys feel about that one?
I was actually very excited about the group. I was really excited about the England game, and then I think we can go ahead and take care of business with the other two.
Yeah, I mean, once I saw that Mexico was drawn into the group with South Africa of the seeded teams, I really felt like the team that I wanted to play the most, and that I think we have a good chance against, was England. And then you really can't ask for more than Slovenia and Algeria in terms of the other two teams that we're going to face. I really think 5 points is a very manageable goal, and I think it's a very achievable one.
Right, and for the uninformed, basically the way it works is each game you win, you get 3 points. You draw, you get one. You lose, you get zero. You know, you play three games. At the end of that, whoever has the top highest points goes through. Second place goes through as well. And I guess with that, you know, most people are jumping to the conclusion that England's going to finish first. You know, we can talk about that later, but right now I think a lot of attention on this group is being focused on England and USA, maybe not so much about Algeria and Slovenia. So you guys did some homework. What do you guys got for us? Al, you can go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm going to talk a little bit about Slovenia. Their FIFA ranking is 33rd, and for those of you that don't know what that means, FIFA each month puts out rankings of all international teams. I believe Brazil is number one after their win in the Confederations Cup, so they're 33rd in that. Their coach is Matjaž Kek, and I'm going to apologize throughout for how I pronounce these names.
For the many Slovenian listeners, you can apologize?
Yeah, for the many Slovenian listeners.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Fun little quirky fact, they're the smallest nation in terms of population to qualify for the World Cup, so they only have 2 million people in their entire country, which is kind of amazing when you think about the countries, you know, like the U.S. that have over 300 million people.
Yeah, I'd just like to make the point that on his debut appearance, Albert is the first person on this show to ever use the word quirky in an actual sentence, so cheers to you, Al.
Thank you. Thanks,
Bravo.
I try. They gained their independence as a nation in 1991 from Yugoslavia, so their soccer history as a nation isn't that rich, though they did make the finals in 2002. This qualifying round, they finished second in their group, and that was a group with Poland, the Czech Republic, Northern Ireland, San Marino, and group winners Slovakia. They ended up beating Russia in the UEFA playoff because of the away goals rule.
Yeah, basically the way it works is the first place team out of every European qualifying group goes automatically to the World Cup, and then the second place teams play each other in a playoff. It's home and home, so you know, if it's Slovenia playing Russia, Slovenia played at home first, or do they play away first?
They played away first,
and that was key because they were down 2-0 in Moscow, and they scored a late goal to give them that one away goal, which ended up being the key goal because they won the return leg at home 1-0.
Right, and I think like a point you hit on there with their group is that, you know, I mean, what are they? Would you say Poland and Czech Republic?
Czech.
I mean, those are two pretty big teams. I mean, they were in the last. Well, Czech Republic was definitely
In the last World Cup as well.
Yeah,
they were in Germany's group.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, you have two, you know, former World Cup finalists, and now, you know, Slovenia beat them out, so you never know what to expect from them.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, when we say World Cup finalist, we do mean one of the last 32 teams. It's not one of the last two teams in the final.
Right. The whole final thing is a little bit confusing, but we'll skip over that for now because I don't feel like talking about it. And then, Josh, you looked up Algeria. Is that right?
Yeah, I took on Algeria. I was actually really interested in this project because I didn't know much about Algeria as an African nation. They actually, their first round of qualifying, they won their group. So they went ahead and went through to the next group where they faced Egypt, who was... I wouldn't say a heavy favorite to beat Algeria.
Yeah, Egypt did. Egypt did win the African Cup of Nations. Is that correct? I think 2 years in a row.
Yes,
so,
they did.
I mean, maybe not like world powers, but certainly on that continent, pretty big powers.
Yeah. They're definitely the favorite coming into that. And going into the last day of qualifying in their group versus Egypt, Algeria did have a 3-point lead, but the two were facing each other, and Egypt had to win by 3 goals to win outright. or 2 goals to force a playoff, which Egypt did end up winning by 2 goals, mm-hmm. and they forced a 1-game playoff that was held in the Sudan, a neutral
site. Tough place
site.
To play the Sudan.
Yeah,
tough
seriously. Place. Now, and that's just because they needed a neutral venue?
They needed a neutral venue right. because the hatred between Algeria and Egypt is actually pretty strong.
Yeah.
Three of the Algerian players were injured before the final game mm-hmm. by rocks and bottles being thrown at their bus in Cairo.
Yeah, and then it goes back a couple decades to like one of the most infamous meetings was
1989.
Yeah, and you had like in that one you had tons of violence on and off the pitch. I think was it like a trainer? Do you know about that one?
Yeah, actually, after the game, one of the trainers had a bottle thrown at him by an Algerian. Well, supposedly by an Algerian player. So mm-hmm. it was one of the Egyptian trainers. And the bottle hit the...
Way to cover our radio program's rear end there and, give us the legal sanction of allegedly or supposedly. Well done, Josh.
Someone's got to do it
here. He's a pro here. What can I say?
So it ended up hitting him in the eye, and I believe it said it broke his eye socket. So there was some pretty mm-hmm. serious stuff going on. They don't like each other at all.
Yeah. I got to say, I was really surprised. I totally expected Egypt to come out of it. And Algeria, I watched the game. They played better.
I expected them to.
Did you really?
Just because Egypt classically underperforms mm-hmm. in World Cup scenarios. Mm-hmm. I believe they've qualified, and I could be completely wrong. I know they qualified in 1990 because they were in England's group, the mm-hmm. Egyptians did. And they've won, at least tied for the most African Cup of Nations, I believe. And
how old were you in 90? Like 5?
Yeah. I remember. That's one of my first memories.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got skills.
So it didn't surprise me as much as it may have surprised some other people, because when you look at the way the Egyptians have played when the World Cup's on the line, mm-hmm. they classically underperform.
And I will say one thing about that that single playoff game. If you haven't seen the goal yet from Algeria by Mr. Yahia, I believe is his name. Once again, I might have to apologize for the pronunciations as well.
Yeah.
But it is a rocket volley, so mm-hmm. you might want to YouTube it. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so I mean, you have a team in Slovenia that they beat out some fairly big names to get there, and you have a team like Algeria who have this like motivation. Their whole country's behind them. It's a huge achievement to get there, so you can't really write them off. But I think that those two teams discussed, as we said, it kind of comes down to USA England. Maybe I mean, how do you guys feel about that?
I think they're definitely the two stronger teams, but mm-hmm. the second. We overlook a team. We have slipped up before in the past, so if we look past anyone, it's going to be a big mistake.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. I think that, unfortunately, for the United States, they have expectations. Mm-hmm. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think it's a great thing because it shows people are concerned about the World Cup. It's on their mind. But I've read numerous places, and I've heard different people say that, well, the U.S. should go through in this group. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still a World Cup group. You're still playing teams that qualified to get there.
Yep.
And, I think very little is known about the Slovenians and even about the Algerians because of, one, Slovenia is just a very young nation in general, and two, North African soccer is not perhaps the most well-noted or mm-hmm. well-documented game. So I think that it's going to be tricky. I would imagine that the Slovenians, from what I've read, they're a lot of team spirit, a lot of heart. They only allowed 6 goals in total in qualifying, so they have a stout defense.
Yeah.
So we got to be careful. I think, really.
So if you turn to the actual national team, the American national team, that is, I guess we can break down a little bit by position. We'll start with, I guess, what I would say maybe the strongest position we have, which is goalkeeper. Right now you have Everton's Tim Howard, you have Aston Villa's Brad Guzan, and then there are rumors or, I guess speculation that maybe Aston Villa's other goalkeeper, starting goalkeeper Brad Friedel, could potentially come out of retirement. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's something that people are kind of tossing out. If you guys had to pick, what goalkeeper are you going to go with?
I mean, just over the last few years, I think you almost have to go with Tim Howard, just what he's been doing in abroad and just for American mm-hmm. soccer in general.
Yeah, I think you don't want to talk in terms of fairness with the national team because you want to put the best product out on the field mm-hmm. to give yourself the best chance to win, but Tim Howard got us to the World Cup, and I think he's one of the best goalkeepers in the world. Same with Brad Friedel, actually, but he didn't get us to this World Cup, so right. I think it's Tim Howard's time to play.
Does the other one of you want to sing the song? I know one of you knows the Timmy Howard song. Josh, come on, go for it.
We've got Timmy Howard. We've got Timmy Howard. We've got Timmy, Timmy Howard, and you can't.
Yeah, see, I don't even know the song.
Okay.
Well done, boys. No, you're good, you're good. But I think that just knowing that much of the song is indicative of why Timmy Howard should start, is because he's a song. Not a lot of Americans have their own songs. Timmy does. So I guess we're all agreed on that one. Tim Howard in goal. And we move on to defense. Big news there is Oguchi Onyewu. Definitely our strongest defender, maybe our strongest player overall.
Will he be healthy?
Yeah, exactly. He's got a blown out knee. The general reports are that he'll be back for the World Cup, but in what state, no one's really sure of. So how do you all feel about the defense?
I am a little shaky because of he's out. We don't know if he's going to be back. Demerit looks like he's going to be back, but I'm still not sure about him.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of eye injuries in general.
Yeah, Jay Demerit is he's a center back. He plays for Watford in what is the English, I guess, second division, or it's called the championship. But
Coca-Cola champion.
Coca-Cola. Wow, Albert, the product placement too, man. You guys are on fire. He had an ocular injury of some kind. I guess that's the theme of today's show. That's two so far. But he's also supposed to be back. But, you know, as we said, injuries, especially with defenders, kind of worrying.
Yeah, and I mean, off that, the U.S. defense performed so well in the Confederations Cup. Bob Bradley has decided for a long time to go with a center back pairing of Carlos Bocanegra and Oguchi Onyewu, but Bocanegra plays left back for his club team, and it just is a better fit for him, and the defense played much, much better with that setup. And so if Onyewu or Demerit are not healthy, I have questions about bringing Bocanegra back into that center back role.
Gotcha. So midfield, you know, depending on who's there, who's not there.
Jermaine Jones.
That's the big question mark, I think.
Oh, yeah. This is the German-born Jermaine Jones?
The German-born Jermaine Jones, yes.
Yeah. See, the way it's kind of confusing with international soccer, because you think, like, you're born in America, you play for the American national team. You're born in Germany, you play for the German national team. It's a little more complicated. It's essentially, I used to think it was just if you made one senior appearance for the national team, but that's not even the case, as we found out with new import Edgar Castillo. He'd actually played for Mexico, but because it wasn't like an international competitive match, it was just a friendly, he could still play for the U.S. national team. So Castillo is eligible to play for the national team, and then Jermaine Jones, who's now coming in from Germany, could play as well.
Yeah, and I think the big issue with the U.S. midfield is what's going to happen in the center of the midfield. Out wide, if you play your two best wide players, you're going to have Dempsey out on the left and Donovan out on the right, or vice versa. And I think that the most American fans would agree that's a good place to start. But in the middle, the way that they played in the Confederations Cup, and I hate to harp on it, but that was a very successful tournament for the United States, was a pairing of Ricardo Clark and Michael Bradley. And I see two issues with them. They don't do well in possession, and they're both red cards waiting to happen.
Yeah. Do you guys have any speculation on that? I mean, why is it that we always seem to accrue these red cards so quickly, so readily?
I mean, I don't know if we've gotten the reputation for this or not, or if... I know a lot of times in the Confederations Cup, that might have been a step above CONCACAF, which we're used to playing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we were just a step slower sometimes and our players weren't quite ready for the speed of the game. But yeah, that has become a problem, particularly in the bigger internationals, like against Italy in the last World Cup.
Yeah, it kind of blew my mind. We keep talking about the Confederations Cup, and it really was like I've never seen a team so guided by, okay, who can actually play, who's not suspended? Because we'd have like one central midfield pairing, there'd be a red card, the next one you'd have to change, and it kept going like that. I mean, I guess it worked out okay, but, against some of these bigger teams, against a team like England, I don't think you can have that kind of flux.
No, you have to
succeed.
Against England, we have to be able to field our best 11. Mm-hmm. Now, what that is open for debate.
Now, I think we're going to continue on with the injury concerns here, because if you're talking about our best 11, if you're looking up top, you could say Josie Altidore, definitely should be there. Maybe not, maybe so. But the one other person that you could say should be there is Charlie Davies.
Yeah. Yes.
Unfortunately, he got into a pretty severe car accident. Again, he's another guy who may be back. Most likely he won't be. But even if he is, again, it's, how quickly can you recover from that? And if you have no experience, playing for the whole season, are you going to be any good come World Cup?
Even if he comes back, I just can't see him being more than a spark sub, which would not be a bad thing at all. But I just can't see him being fit enough to be a real impact player.
Right.
No, I agree with that statement completely. It's sad because Charlie Davies really came into his own this summer. I think he was becoming somewhat of a leader, actually. After the Confederations Cup, he said he believed that the United States could win the World Cup. I've never heard another U.S. player say that before.
Yeah.
And whether or not, it's just like youthful gall, audaciousness, I don't know what it is, but at least the kid has the belief in himself and those around him that the U.S. can succeed.
But so I guess if Davies isn't there, what four do you guys want to see starting up top? Or what pairing of forwards, I guess I should say.
Do you think we'll go one forward
I think against England we will go one forward.
I think so too. I don't like the one forward
system. I think we're going to play for a tie against England.
See, yeah, I don't want that because then I can't talk trash to Daryl for the rest of the year.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think any of us want a tie.
So, but if we're going with a regular formation, you have 11 players on the field, obviously, goalkeeper. So the usual formation for us would be a 4-4-2. That's two forwards up top. Who are you starting to, Josh? You got?
I mean, I'm still not sold. I would definitely have Alistair up top. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine Ching playing in a World Cup game for us.
Yeah, Brian Ching is another guy who, like, he kind of always makes the team and then he never does anything.
Never does anything.
So I'm inclined to agree. So no Ching, no Davies. You got Alcidor, and that's the problem, I guess.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You almost every once in a while you get tempted to push Donovan up behind Alcidor, but I just think that takes too much away from Donovan's game.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like what you want to pair with Altidore, and I think he deserves to start, is a speedier guy. That's Davies was, and they seem to work really well off of one another. Pacey guy who's going to give the defense fits because he runs at him. And, you know, Jeff Cunningham got a call up in the U.S. against Denmark friendly, and he scored our only goal that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he did well. He gave him fits. He took his goal very well. And I think that's the type of player you're looking for. I don't know how many the U.S. can provide, but
no. A couple of years ago, if you're talking about maybe a speedy striker who's really well known to the American public,
Freddie Adu.
That I keep getting this question is like, what happened to Freddie Adu? Is he still even around? Is he still playing? And really, it's kind of a depressing story because you know he started off DC 9 when I guess he was like 14, and he looked like he was destined for great things. And now I think he's playing for a Portuguese second division team.
And
maybe
he's not really playing either.
Well, I think the Freddie Adu question, in terms of the national team, was answered for me in an interview that I saw with Bob Bradley where he said, Freddie needs to learn how to earn things. This come in from the man who started his son, Michael Bradley, from day one at center midfield. Mm-hmm. So I think that there are a lot of people within U.S. soccer who have a lot of questions about Freddie Adu. I think he should be on the roster, personally, because I think he adds a dimension where he goes at players. And I don't think he should start. I don't know how many minutes he should get, but I think to have that type of person on your team.
If you're down late a goal, then something that he can create.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now we've covered every position on the field. Now we can talk about some people say it's the most important. Some people actually say it's the least important, but it comes down to coaching. And right now we've got U.S. coach Bob Bradley. I believe you guys have some mixed feelings on this guy.
To put it lightly, yes, I would say.
All right, so
mine aren't very mixed, but
so explain. Like, I mean, Bob Bradley came in; he took over from Bruce Arena after Arena, you know, had a very unsuccessful 2006 World Cup. Before that, he had been pretty successful throughout his whole career, really, starting at EVA, going to DC, then the national team. You know, he was a great coach. Bradley replaced him, and I mean, to some extent, the USA hasn't really lost a step. They did well in the Confederations Cup. They've qualified with relative ease. So, why are you guys so anti-Bradley?
Bradley, if you look at the results, can't really have that much to complain about. Mm-hmm. My only issue was coming off the last World Cup. I thought we needed to go in a different direction from Bruce Arena, and Bradley was pretty much a prototype mold, the exact same as Bruce Arena.
I think off that point, the important thing that Josh mentioned for me is that you have Bruce Arena 2.0 and Bob Bradley. You're bringing in a guy who was born and raised in U.S. soccer and who looks at the game from a United States perspective, and we've yet as a nation, as a soccer nation, to win at the highest level or to be in a region that has won at the highest level. So I would have liked to go somewhere else to try and infuse our team with a bit of either Latin American flair or European ruggedness and rigidness.
Yeah, I mean, you look at our coming opponents in the World Cup, England. They failed to qualify for Euro 2008. It was a huge source of controversy, namely because their coach, Steve McLaren, you know, he just didn't produce. You had all these amazing world-class players, and they didn't even make the tournament. He's an English coach. You get rid of him, and you bring in Fabio Capello, an Italian coach who's coached at, AC Milan, Real Madrid. You know, he's got that pedigree. And now you see England, they qualified with not even relative ease, with ease.
Yeah.
They're there, and they look like they could be a big team. And so, yeah, I guess to some extent, you bring in a foreign coach who's got that experience, I feel like you're going to say current Russian coach, maybe future not Russian coach, Goose Hiddink.
Yeah, I mean, that's the dream scenario, I think.
But that's obviously not till after this World Cup because you can't.
I think you do it now if you can.
Really?
Yes.
See, I mean, I understand completely. With like Diego Maradona of Argentina, they struggled throughout. They're this world-class team. They struggled. They barely made it. I could see him getting replaced. Same thing with French coach Raymond Domenech. I guess, everyone's heard about the handball and how Ireland kind of got messed over in that one. But Bradley got us there. How can you say, changing horses in midstream?
The reason I say do it is because you have maybe the best horse in the race available. And no matter when you can jump on and ride that horse, you should be able to. You should go for that. And it's no disservice to Bob Bradley. I don't want to take anything away from what he's accomplished.
it's no disservice, but he should be fired.
and if Goose Henning's available, then yes, he should be. But I don't think that's a scenario that's likely. Yeah. So you got to stick with Bob Bradley.
Somewhere Bob Bradley is curled up next to his radio crying. I hope you all are aware, because clearly he listens to this radio show.
Yeah. Obviously. I mean, it's the only soccer show in Richmond. So.
There you go. Okay, so we've talked about it now. We've talked about three of the teams in our group. You look at England. How do you think this U.S. team actually matches up against England? I mean, I'm of the opinion, since Daryl's not here, I'll say it. You know, it's not like we're going against a Brazil who, you know, you have every single player could play for any team, you know, anywhere in the world. I'd say the same thing for maybe Germany,
Spain.
Yeah, definitely. You know, England, to be sure, they're world class. They've got a lot of great players. You know, I'm definitely not looking forward to our defenders trying to mark Wayne Rooney. But, you know, in all likelihood, the other forward could be Emile Heskey. Yeah. You know, for the people who
I think it should be Jermaine Defoe, though.
Yeah. But see, I think that's just it. Is like, if I said, you know, Ronaldo of well, yeah, even fat Ronaldo of Brazil, or, you know, Ronaldo of Portugal, like, those are the big names. You know, yeah, those names. Not a lot of people that don't, like, regularly follow soccer know Jermaine Defoe or know Emile Heskey. And so I feel like it's kind of a dream draw for us. It's not a Brazil that could totally steamroll us. Yeah. It's an English team that we're going to get up for, we're going to want to beat.
I mean, their midfield is very good, and that's going to be a problem for us, particularly in the center of the midfield. But as with all English teams, their keeper is a huge question mark.
Mm-hmm. Al nodded and then started immediately grasping at his throat. Al, what are you implying there?
The English media loves to heap enormous pressure on their team, mm-hmm. and classically, the English players have not responded well to that pressure. And I think the game against the U.S. for England is a perfect chance to live up to its billing as a disappointment.
Yeah.
But my point being that I think the U.S. poses some problems in our physicality and in our pace.
Okay, so you're talking about like a quick player who could, you know, plague the English defenders. Some people in that situation might point to a player like Landon Donovan. Many refer to him as the best player on the U.S. national team. One thing I particularly want to talk about right now is he's had three different deals to go to Europe, all three in Germany, all three, say what you want, you know, not successful. Yeah. So now it looks like this January he's going to be signing for English club Everton. How do you guys feel about that? Do you think it's going to work out? Do you think it's going to matter?
I think it's a really good move for him, in mm-hmm. particular because he already knows someone on the team. Just having more of a support system there than he's had before might be helpful to him.
Yeah,
it's going to keep him in shape, and I like to see what he does there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of two minds on this. I think that any time you can play in arguably the best league in the world, you have to jump at the opportunity, and that's a problem I've had with Landon Donovan in the past, so I'm glad to see him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's only going to go over there for a loan spell, why England? Go somewhere else. Go mm-hmm. somewhere where you're not going to be facing that nation in the World Cup. And I know it sounds maybe a tad ridiculous to imply that, but a lot of English players, aside from David Beckham, who may or may not start or make the roster for England,
mm-hmm.
They don't know a lot about Landon Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
And so until you play someone, you're not going to know anything about it. So I want to surprise the English with things like our pace.
Yeah, Daryl actually made that point last week, and I think it's pretty valid because, you know, you have a lot of Americans playing all over the globe, but you do have a lot playing in England, and, mm-hmm. you know, not just goalkeepers. I mean, my personal favorite American player is Clint Dempsey. He plays for Fulham, and he's not going to be a big – I mean, he's a great player, but I don't think he's going to be the biggest surprise. I mean, he's played against that entire English team now.
But on the flip side, he knows what they're going to do. I mean, he's more of an attacking player, so you'd rather have the surprise when you're attacking, obviously. But
so going with that, I'd ask, you know, what are you guys hoping for this World Cup? Realistically,
in terms of a realistic expectation, I think mm-hmm. that they should make the second round. Hopefully, I want them in the quarterfinals. And I think, mm-hmm. like any tournament, when you get to the last eight, think of March Madness, something like that, mm-hmm. crazy things can happen.
I think most fans would look at it as a failure if we don't reach the second round. So
yeah, I guess we're all agreeing then that we make it into the second round, and then after that, we're just hoping.
Well, I think it's this: second round is realistic. If you bow out before that, it's a failure. If you get past the second round, it's a good tournament.
Yeah, I did a little bracketology of my own. Daryl hates it when I do this because he's not big on predictions and stuff like that. But the way it looked to me, I mean, if USA goes up against – if USA finishes second, they go against Germany. I would argue that that would be the hardest match you're going to play unless you make it to the finals, because if we beat Germany, the next team we would play would be the winner of Mexico-Argentina. Mexico we've played plenty of times. Argentina look weak. And then after that we're playing, you know – maybe Italy, maybe Denmark, maybe Spain, maybe Ivory Coast. I mean, I think those are all teams. I mean, I'm totally talking out my rear end again, but you know, who knows?
I say it's true. It's just, it's so far out in the future, and just like Albert mentioned, once you get to the second round, once you get these one game and done scenarios, anything can happen. A red card pops up, an injury, and the whole game changes in an instant.
But I think that's the fun of it, though. What Taylor just did. That's why we're all excited about the World Cup. Is that you can sit down with a pen and a paper and imagine these wonderful matchups, or your team going against Germany and beating the Germans. How wonderful would that be for U.S. soccer? You know, that's
All right, so gun to your head, we've talked about the USA. Who's your odds-on favorite? Who are you picking to win? Al?
The World Cup?
Yeah.
Odds-on favorite has to be Brazil, as the grandson of a Brazilian.
Oh, of course. You gotta find fake lineage just to throw it in there and be like, well, I'm an American, but also Brazil. That's my loyalty.
And also, I just think they're the best team in the world.
Well, that probably helps as well. Josh, what about you?
I mean, I've got to go with Spain, but then again, no European team has ever won off European soil. So that's disconcerting, but I just think they are a fantastic team right now.
You guys are just bringing the facts, man. Wow. I totally forgot about that one. Well done. I think I am going to
Who you got in your final?
In my final, it's really boring, but right now in my final, I have the semifinals, England and Brazil, and the other semifinal of Germany and Ivory Coast.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so I have Brazil-Germany. It's boring. It happened in 2002.
It's not boring.
Yeah, so, it's a boring pick. It's like two of the best teams playing each other. Although the semifinals, in the third place game, I do have England Ivory Coast, which could be
kind of sweet. Fun. But I see you took everyone's favorite dark horse, the Ivory Coast, this tournament.
Yeah, I'm not being original here. Although I do think Daryl and I have talked about it. This could be the tournament where Africa really, you know, comes to the forefront.
I'm actually concerned about that with Algeria versus USA because they are playing in Africa and they're going to have everyone behind them.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned with sub-Saharan Africa, to be honest, just because – it sounds like a weird thing to say, but I think that the stronger teams in Africa are your Ghanas, your Ivory Coast, your Cameroon.
Nigeria as well. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be an interesting one. And, you know, I guess we'll be talking about this one for a good 6 months, and I'll be looking forward to every one of those conversations. So until then, we're going to close the show, as we usually do, with a little trivia. Daryl's not here, so obviously I can't continue that contest, but you guys can go against each other. Did either of you listen to the show last week?
No, yes. I actually did not.
Oh, well then, Josh, you are at a disadvantage because you guys are going to be guessing the nicknames of the teams that will be in this World Cup.
Okay.
I'm going to go first to three wins. Since Josh didn't listen to the show, I'm going to reward Albert and give him the first nickname. Albert, who are the Elephants?
The Elephants? I'm going to say the Ivory Coast.
That is correct. Well done, Albert. Albert is up 1-0. Joshua, I would like you to tell me who are the Super Eagles.
I mean, America.
What? Super Eagles?
That'd
be Nigeria.
Nigeria.
All right, Albert. I would like you to tell me who are Bafana Bafana.
Oh, that's South Africa.
Okay, yeah. Albert. Wow, okay. I thought that'd be way harder than it actually was. So we'll go on to Josh. Josh, I'll give you an easy one. Who are the Socceroos?
Australia.
Australia, there it is. All right, so I'm Albert leads 2-1. Albert, you need this one to win. Who are the Blue Samurai?
Wow, I'm going to assume that's the Japanese.
That is correct.
Congratulations.
And with that, Albert wins with the layup. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us here at the Total Football Soccer Show. Many thanks to my guests, Josh and Albert. Say goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, and thank you.
Goodbye, boys.
Oh, wow, the repeat thing. Well done, Albert. All right, and with that, we'll see you next week, and thanks again for tuning in.